you're doing well. We find ourselves here again at the end of another week. I don't know about you in your house, but in our house, just getting to the weekend feels like a win at the moment. So well done, everybody, for getting through to another week. Today, we are continuing to look at our current series, and as has been said, using the word bless to help us think about our lives, our outreach, building relationships with those around us in our communities. Going out there and being people of action, following the calling that God has given each one of us. And we've begun with B, which is begin with prayer. We've had L, listen. And we've had with Abby last week, she shared as E, which was to eat. And today we continue with the first S. And I'm sure people have guessed it by now, but this S this week is serve. And we'll be unpacking some thoughts on this through our passage, which has been read in John 13. So I'm going to try and keep things quite simple today. And I'm going to be asking three questions. And those questions are, who do we serve? Why do we serve? And how do we serve? So who, why, and how? So let's set the scene in our passage that we've just read. And what we see is Jesus here with his closest friends about to celebrate Passover. And the Gospels mention three or four times that they've shared this meal together previously. It was a big deal. It was an important date. And we know now that this was one of the most symbolic moments in Jesus's story. But there's some really interesting points just to set that context there. And the first one is that Jesus chose this moment around a meal in an intimate setting with his close friends to share something so precious with them. And just like Abby was talking about last week, being close to people, being open and vulnerable is so important. And this was the setting that this passage was in a place of friends sharing a meal. But secondly, we also read that Jesus knew that his time had come. He knew what was going to happen in a short matter of hours in a day. He knew that he was going to die on the cross, and he knew what he needed to do to fulfill his mission on earth. What did he decide to do at that point? He decided to have one last meal with those who were closest around him. And I don't know about you, but maybe when you've been in a change of your life or when circumstances have changed, certainly in my life, when I've been going away or I've been going on an extended trip, I have wanted those around me, those closest to me, to share a meal because we were going to be separated. Jesus knew that his time had come. And really, when we look at an overview of this passage, and in particular the book of John, we can see a key theme running throughout. And it's stark in contrast to some of the other Gospels. And in particular, we see the theme of love strongly in this book, and particularly in these chapters, in this section of John 13 to 7, occurs over 30 times. And it's quite clearly mentioned more in this John. When we explore this passage a little bit, we see that it's all about love, the love that Jesus showed practically and spiritually by demons. But he was also preparing his disciples to see another act of love for them by dying for them later on the cross. So if we look into the room, we see Jesus surrounded by his closest friends. They are enjoying a meal. And then he does something absolutely remarkable. He demonstrates this powerful love that he has for them by doing the dirty job of a low-down servant. He stands up, takes off his robe, he pours out the water, and he starts to wash and dry each one of his disciples' dirty feet. And at the time, it was a simple yet shocking act of service from Jesus towards his disciples. And when we see this in the context of service, when we look at the rest of Jesus's ministry, I think it can simply be summed up, and you might have already seen this, but to serve is to love. And when we look at Jesus's ministry and the things that he did, it was all about loving those around him. And so to serve is to love. Jesus shows us his love through serving others. And we are to show that same love by serving those around us. And through the washing of feet, and then followed by his death, we see Jesus demonstrating incredible love to his friends. If we look in verse 2, we see that Jesus showed them this love to the end. In some versions, it says the full extent of this love. And what Don the writer was showing us in this statement was that Jesus was showing through his actions that his love wasn't going to end, that it would continue forever. And this was both through his death, but it was also through the symbolic cleansing of sins through the act of washing his friends' feet. And what Jesus was showing with them was that only he could make someone fully clean. It was a symbol for the cleansing of sin, a purification process. And this is what he has done. This is what he did on the cross for each one of us shortly after. That his death is the only way for us to be truly free of the wrong in our lives, to be saved from the separation from God forever, the consequence of sin. And we know by choosing to accept this great gift of love that he gives to us, to choose Jesus as Lord of all parts of our life, to accept his love, that we can also become clean and made right with the Father. So the first question, who do we serve? When I was thinking about this, I just got the simple lyrics from a very famous song, and I'm sure you will agree. If you grew up in church, as I was blessed to do in a Christian house, grew up in church in the 80s and 90s, there were three things that you probably came across. One was tambourines, one was rainbow guitar straps, and the other thing was Graham Kendrick songs. And the words to this song popped into my head when I was thinking about who do we serve? And it is that famous song, Servant King. And I love the simple lyrics which express this amazing truth that when Jesus came into the world, he came in both human form as the king and yet as a servant. And as the song says, he came not to be served, but to serve, and gave his life that we may live. And we read this in Philippians 2, in verse 6 to 8, where Paul talks about Jesus coming to earth. And even though he was God the King, he did not use this to his advantage. But Jesus came to save us all. And if we jump ahead a little bit in the passage to verses 6 and 9, we look at the reaction of Peter. He just could not get his head around the fact, his mind was blown, that Jesus wanted to wash his feet. Now, Peter knew Jesus to be his king and his master. And so he was horrified that Jesus would humble himself to do the lowly job of a servant and offer to wash his feet. He didn't understand that Jesus was both king and servant. He did not feel worthy. And maybe actually, if we look at that, we see that actually he was a bit proud. He didn't realize that Jesus had to wash his feet for him to be truly clean. And it shows that he wanted Jesus to be king, maybe on his own terms. He recognizes him king, but he would not accept the full extent of his love. And he wouldn't accept that he needed to be washed by Jesus. And this is why Jesus said in verse 8, if I don't wash you, then you don't belong to me. And I wonder, how often are we like Peter in our lives? We want God to be our king, but often on our own terms. Maybe we are reluctant to give up a part of our old sinful lives. Maybe we have other things which we often put ahead of God every day. Maybe our energy goes into serving things with more selfish motives. And each one of us who has encountered Jesus has a choice. To accept him as king, and have we allowed him to demonstrate that full extent of his love by giving all of ourselves to him? Because when we do that, when we trust in him, when we accept his forgiveness, we are fully washed clean. We are saved. We choose to serve him and we follow. And so the question to us all at this point is, Is Jesus King of your life? Have you accepted the full extent of his love for you? This great love that was shown in this passage. But secondly, when we think about who we serve, we're called as followers of Jesus to serve the world around us, our communities, our family, our neighbours. And simply, this is the Great Commission that is found in Matthew 28. We are called to continue the work that Jesus started by sharing the transforming love to those in need, his love. And by choosing to be followers of Jesus, we are to be disciples who make disciples. Jesus says, go, share my love, teach my commands, baptize in my name. And Jesus' life shows us in practice the commands to love each other as he loved us, to be generous in spirit, to stand up for those who are oppressed. And that when we are called to do something, we are called to act. We are called not just to believe. And this is what faith is, stepping out, trusting him, just like Jesus did, sometimes doing the most simplest and most unexpected things. We are called to bless those around us. So we follow on to the second question, why do we serve? And in this, we look at what Jesus did in John 13 and why he did it. And Jesus commands us to follow him. And in this passage, to follow his example. In verse 15, after he's washed their feet, he tells his friends, now go and do this to each other. It's a clear instruction to follow his example. Now, I'm not sure if you are like us in our house, but during the long winter nights, we often like to watch something on the TV when we can. Granted, with three kids, it's often very late in the evening when we actually get a chance to sit down. But just before Christmas, we decided to start to re-watch Downton Abbey. Have we got any other Downton Abbey fans in the house? Probably not. No, yes, come on. Yes, so there are people, yes. So for those who don't know, it's a show set in Britain in the early 20th century. It follows the life and adventures of a large country estate, a rich family. They have many servants who perform all sorts of different tasks in service to this family. And I was thinking, often when I think about what must it have been like to be a servant at that time? And there is this image of separation between life upstairs and life downstairs. And there's a real contrast in that. Those who have, those who are rich, and those who have not, those who serve. There's a separation between master and servant. But actually, when we consider in the terms of what Jesus was saying to his friends then and what he's saying to us today, it's actually very different. Because when he was on earth, Jesus modeled a way to live, to serve others by being close to those that he loved. There wasn't a separation. He didn't just say, this is the theory, go and do it. No, he showed them by example of the actions that he wanted them to take. And I love it in 2 Corinthians where Paul talks in very clear terms about being an ambassador for Christ. And we are called to be ambassadors of Christ, that we take the message of reconciliation, the good news between God, reconciliation between God and his people. We take it out there into the world, showing his love to those that we serve, those who are in need. This is what Jesus showed by washing his friends' feet. He instructs us, and he's given us authority to go and show his love to those who need it. I also love in other parts, he calls us friends, that he trusts us to take part of him, parts of the kingdom, through his love, to serve those around us, to love those who need it. And as we serve and we love those, we represent Christ. We are ambassadors for him. What an honor that he should trust people, ordinary people like you, like me, to do what he says and follow his example. But also we think about why do we serve the people around us? And we should do it to bring glory to the King. We should do it as part of our worship, in thankfulness and in honor of who he is. You know, going back to the song, we sing this. He calls us now to follow him, as a daily offering of worship to the servant king. And so the question maybe we need to ask ourselves is, when we are serving others, is what is our motivation? What is my motivation? Is it to make me look good? Is it for me to get praise? Is it for me to bring favor, to gain favor? We are called to love others in a way which brings glory to God, not ourselves. And again, in Downton Abbey, there are two characters who are quite key, and they illustrate this really well. You've got Carson, the old butler, and he is the trusted right-hand man of the head of the family, Lord Grantham. He's an establishment man. He has served the family for a long time. There he is. And he always gives his all in service to them. But then there is Thomas, the younger chap. He's a bit of a rogue. And he always seems to have a grudge against someone. He's always out there to try and get the best from a situation for himself. He's always trying to better himself at the expense of others. You know, he would steal items from the family to discredit others. He would start rumors. He was always stirring up trouble to promote himself. And when we serve in our actions, we are called to bring glory to our Father. We don't serve others for our own benefit, but for theirs, and to bring glory to our Heavenly Father. We are to be humble. And in this passage, Jesus shows us how to truly be humble. The master doing the job of a lowly servant by lowering himself to those and giving himself to those that he loved. And Jesus had the authority. He had authority from God, and he knew who he was. And yet he still decided to honor his Father by showing love to his friends. You know, he could have said, "Do you know who I am? I'm not going to do this. This is well below me." I wonder if we've ever said that in reaction to a circumstance we find ourselves in. "I'm not doing that. I'm too good for that." Jesus had the authority, and yet he became the servant king, and he demonstrated that humility in front of his friends. He could have got someone else to demonstrate this point. He could have got a servant to pour the water. But no, what do we read? Jesus, stripped to the waist, he got down at his friend's feet. He poured the water himself and he washed them clean. And what an image of a humble servant that this is, that the king should choose to do a job of a slave. You know, he went all out to show his love and the love of the Father to his friends. And he calls us to do the same, not for our own glory, but to bring other people into contact with God, that they can be transformed and they can be made clean. And as in a similar thought, we aren't called to follow Jesus' example and serve those around us in order to do good works, to climb the ladder of status, to tick the super spiritual box, to say, "Yes, we've done this," to strive to try and gain our salvation. No, we do it with great love and the great love of the Savior to those who needs it most. My dad went to Tibet a few years ago, and he came back with some incredible pictures. And I'm just going to share with them now. And they showed some Tibetan Buddhists who he saw, and they'd been on a pilgrimage to the temple. And for many weeks, they traveled to get to this temple. And as they traveled, they prostrated themselves. They crawled on all fours in an act of submission to get to the temple. You can see it. And this went on through their journeys to get. And you can imagine it was an awful experience. And when they arrive, they're expected to turn these heavy prayer wheels over and over again as part of a religious ritual. And I remember my dad saying how heartbreaking and sad it was to see these poor people putting themselves through this in order to earn recognition, to gain higher status, to make amends for past wrongs. But what we must remember is that, as it says in Ephesians, in Ephesians 2, it is not by our works that we are saved. It's through God's grace, giving us something that we do not deserve, something that we can't earn, because God has given us our salvation only through the death and resurrection of Jesus. There is no other way. And just like Abby was saying last week, when we humble ourselves, when we get close to those who need us, when we become vulnerable by stepping out, actually, what we are doing is we are showing grace to those around us, just as God's grace was shown to us. And we shouldn't serve. We should serve not to try and earn our salvation. We can't change what God has done for us. We must serve others from a position of humility, of acceptance and thankfulness of the grace shown to us through Jesus. And we can't get God to love us anymore by doing good works to those around us. And finally, why do we serve? We are blessed to be a blessing. And we came across Abraham in the first week of this series. He was called to action, to pack up everything, to follow God's call and to trust in him. And that's what we are called to do. When we follow the call, just like Abraham, we are blessed. He became the father of many nations. Maybe God is calling some of us to serve into the unknown in a way which stretches us, makes us grow, just like it did Abraham. When we step out in faith to follow the Lord's calling, we know that we will be blessed. Jesus finished this passage in verse 17 by saying, "Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you follow them." We are blessed to be a blessing. I'm sure many of us have amazing stories of how we've been blessed by the Lord in our lives, that as we have served others, as we have shown love to others, maybe only in small ways, he has blessed us richly beyond our expectations. He is faithful. His promises are true, and he does what he says he will. And last night I was on Facebook and I saw something brilliant which really highlights this, and I just want to share with you quickly. And some of you may know this family which I refer to. They worship at St. Stephen's in West Bowling. And I've known this family for 20 years, and they are wonderful people who live their lives day after day serving those who are on the margins of our city. And they put up a video last night of showing their family. And they just sat down for their tea, and they were wondering, what do we have? We haven't really got anything. What do we have? And then this video showed that at that moment, there was a knock at the door, and there was delivery of a hot dessert and ice cream. And they just could not believe it. And this had arrived on their doorstep from an anonymous person. And you should have seen the joy on their faces, of especially the kids, of this anonymous person, this surprise, this blessing which had appeared. You know, we can't outgive God. And that as we choose to commit ourselves to him, to follow his calling, to serve and bless those, he promises to bless us in return. And finally, just to finish, how do we serve? I just wanted to encourage you all to keep doing what you are doing. I'm not just going to sit here and say, you must do it this way or you must do it that way. You know, as we've been looking at over the last few weeks, we need to be asking God, Lord, how can we serve others better? We need to listen to those around us to discern what is needed. But when I look around our community, our church family, every day I see amazing people giving of themselves to others, showing sacrificial love to the community in so many ways. When we look at what Jesus did or his friends by washing their feet, we see a simple but necessary act. And I don't know about you, but often it is the small things that people do for me that can make the most difference and bless me the most. The small practical things that are often unexpected. And we have some wonderful people in our church who show love to our community. People who regularly visit neighbours, share Bible stories in local schools, litter pick in the park, offer lifts to those most vulnerable, give their time to volunteer. The list goes on. And as we've looked at, God does not call us just to do the public acts of service, the jobs that everybody sees up front, but he wants us to follow him, to be transformed in our lives and to follow his humble example. And even though others may not see our acts of love, God sees them. And know this, every time you go and visit your neighbor, every time you go and litter pick to serve somebody else, to serve our community, you are serving the King. And just as we've been learning about recently, I really believe that God wants us to be genuine people, vulnerable, open and honest, with no hidden agendas. And how many times have we heard in church circles when maybe asking people to come to an event or come to a course, people can say, well, yeah, but what's the catch? And God is asking us to live transparent, open lives that share his love with one another and continue to serve, often in the simplest and most practical ways. And often that might be unseen. But when we trust in him, when we take small steps of showing love to others, we know that he honors us and he takes care of the rest. He does the work in the people that we choose to serve. And so to finish, I just want us to think about the passage that we've read. To look at Jesus as our example. Jesus, the servant queen, the servant king. And to ask ourselves these questions. Who do I show God's love to around me at the moment? Who do I serve? How do I serve? And who needs it most? Who needs to see God's love from me at this time? You know, COVID, this crazy time that we're in, lockdown means that we are restricted in so many ways of what we can do, in the ways that we can help each other. But actually, now more than ever is the time that we need to be asking, God, how can we be your hands? How can we be your feet? How can we be your voice to show your love in this community? How can we share your love and serve those around us? So let's just think about that, about what God has done for us, Jesus coming as the servant king. Are we serving him? Let's think about maybe our motivations for why we serve, why we show love to those around us. Let's look at Jesus's example through this. And then let's open our hearts and ask him to show us how we can show people love in practical ways, maybe, but to continue to serve those around us. Let's pray just to finish. Lord, thank you that you came as the servant king. Lord, thank you that you reign today. And Lord, help us to put you first, to serve you first in all that we do. Lord, help us to put aside selfish ambition or gain, personal gain, but help us to truly understand the humility and the humble nature of what you call us to do. Lord Jesus, show us how your love can transform those around us. Help us to be open in our lives with those around us. Help us to find and hear your heart, Lord, and to seek out those who we can bless, those who we can love. And Lord, even in these difficult times, really speak to us. Help us to hear. Help us to listen to those around us to understand how we can best be used as your hands and feet in this community, in the communities that we live and serve in. In Jesus' name, amen.